Shut up and sit down.
Welcome to the Rethinking Football Podcast, where we discuss player development with players, world-renowned scouts, professional football academy directors, coaches, and others. We will use Spain's model and compare it to other national governing bodies in other countries. At the end of each podcast, we will update our theory of change to improve player development worldwide using indicators, best practices, and our own research, along with the opinions and expertise of our guests. Soccer Hall of Fame inductee Hugo Perez is a legend and a true agent of change. Perez was part of the generation that influenced tens of thousands of football lovers in the U.S. Perez was born in El Salvador and grew up in Southern California. During his 14-year career as a professional footballer, Perez earned 73 national caps, including the Olympic squad. He was a member of the 1994 U.S. World Cup team and was a starter in the unforgettable Round of 16 match against Brazil. He also had a chance to train under the tutelage of Johan Cruyff at Ajax. As a coach, Perez has been credited as the architect of the most talented U.S. youth national team in history. The graduates from his U.S. U15 boys national squads between 2012 and 2014 represent some of the players that can potentially shape the future of the USMNT, including Christian Pulisic, Andrew Carlton, Josh Perez, Tyler Adams, Lucas Del Rosario, and Jose Carranza. He also brought Jonathan Gonzalez to the U.S. national team program. Perez talks about solutions that can improve talent scouting, player development, and coaching education.
Welcome to Rethinking Football. My name is Dawn Brown. Today, we're going to have a conversation with Hugo Perez. Hugo has an interesting story. He's unique because he was a dual citizenship player who played for the U.S. national team, and he was also a coach. Prior to this interview, we had a chance to talk about philosophies on football, and today we're going to expand on that conversation. So, welcome, Hugo.
Yep.
Let's start with your experience with the U.S. national team, both as a player and a coach. I'd like for us to look at the difficulties that young players face today when considering playing outside the U.S., whether they have dual nationality or not, and what some of the advantages and disadvantages are. You're part of the generation that is responsible for elevating the sport of soccer in the U.S. What do you think is better now for U.S. athletes hoping to become national team players?
The advantage today is that I think the we have a more, I would say, expansion program on national teams for U.S. Than it was before when I played. You have better programs all over the country, obviously more youth clubs all over the country, and, you know, before when I started playing here, and especially with the national team, we didn't have all that. Now, the difficult thing, I think, sometimes continues to be what type of players, you know, coaches are looking for, and the national team especially. And that always depends on the type of coach that the national team has. But when you talk about infrastructure, I think it's much easier now for players to be seen than it was when I played.
Why would a U.S. youth player or early career player consider playing outside of the U.S.?
There's a couple of factors. One, obviously, the players right now, the youth players in this country, they do have, I would say, the talent to be able to go outside and play in Europe, for example. But we have to remember, here in America, the culture is a little bit different when it comes to football. And it all depends also on the parents, and it all depends also on the culture of the kids that they're growing up with, the environment, what their goal is. Also, we need to remember that here in America, soccer is not part of a deep culture, okay? So that gets in the way a lot of times, because some of the kids want to go to college. 95% of the kids that play in this country go to college. So it's a little bit different than Central America, South America, where everybody wants play at the highest level. Here in America, it's more challenging. But there's also kids, I have to say, there's also young kids that dream of playing in Europe. But also, we need to take into account now that obviously with the FIFA rules now, kids cannot go at the younger ages like they used to anymore. They have to be 18 years old before they can sign over there. But I think that's going to change through the years as soccer gets more popular here in the United States. You want to have, you're probably going to have more kids dreaming of playing in Europe because whether we like it or not, I think Europe is still the elite continent where players can go and prove themselves how good they are, because football there it's the highest than it is in all over the world.
You make a great point about how the FIFA rules limit what youth can do overseas, but let's talk a little bit about that. How do we prepare our youth players to go to Europe when they're old enough, say 17 or 18, so that they have the right level and the right tools to be successful in the European system?
Right now, here in the United States, you have the academy program that is obviously backed up by U.S. soccer. That is connected also to the MLS franchises. I think that's been help in making sure that our players are, getting recognized and they're playing and competing in the league. But I still think we can do a better job especially in the academy system, where you have to focus more on the development of the player than in the results of games. Because again, when you're going to Europe and you're sending young players to Europe, they need to be prepared and be more than one-dimensional type of player. And at the end, the academies have to be the foundation of teaching and preparing those players technically, especially, then tactically, so that when they get a chance to go to Europe, they're better groomed and they're better soccer players. Because again, the environment over there, it's competition weekly after week. There's so many players. So I still feel that we need to do a better job here in their development process, especially at the youth level, and not to worry too much about results as an academy, because at the end, you want players from our country especially to go to Europe and succeed, because that helps the national team programs overall. And at the end, also the MLS academies, if they continue to do a good job, they can probably start thinking also about sending players like everybody else does to Europe. But we need to concentrate on the development process more than the process of results.
Right. One of the things, too, that is different here in the United States as opposed to Spain or other countries in Europe is that we don't use the promotion and relegation system for youth. Well, really, for both youth and for the professional leagues as well. But what do you think... what kind of difference do you think it would make if the youth academy, the youth system here in the United States adopted a relegation and promotion system?
Well, it's been discussed for years about that, and they feel that at the youth level also. Now, there's some leagues, for example, in California, that they have promotion and relegation. And I'm not against that. The only thing that we also have to be careful, and this doesn't have to do anything with promotion and relegation. It has to do with the person who's coaching the teams or who's coaching the youth players. Because when it comes to promotion and relegation, they focus a lot on the result, okay? Because they need to win to stay in the, whether it's first division or second division. And so that sometimes gets away from having the opportunity that you have to give to the players to develop themselves, because now it becomes a game of results And when you have that, then the player is sacrificed. In other words, you want to minimize, and you want to minimize the mistakes of players. And when you do that, then you take away their freedom to play. Okay, but also, I like, you know, promotion relegation if the coach who's coaching those teams really has the burden to be able to make sure that his players are competing and they're being developed, even though you have to do a promotion relegation. So it all comes down to the club, it all comes down to the coach, and also part of the responsibility has to be with the league. You know, there's got to be ways that the league can say, okay, we're going to have promotion relegation, but, you know, we need to make sure that our players are getting developed the right way and not being sacrificed just to get a result.
Do you think the problem is that we don't have enough formative academies in the U.S.?
Yes. It is a problem. Again, I mean, we have so many youth teams in this country. But at the same time, because it's a pay-to-play issue, okay, it becomes sometimes a problem. Now, I still believe that every youth club in this country, whether it's they have this program of, you know, when kids have to pay to play, you still have the ability to do a good job. And I think this is where I feel that U.S. Soccer has to intervene in helping all these clubs. And I'll give you an example. If I have a small club, whether it's in the academy system, for example, or outside the academy system, but I'm doing a good job in developing players, and let's say I send a player to a youth national team camp, and he makes it there, and he makes it for the under-17 World Cup or under-20 World Cup, and he came from my club. I think the club should be compensated for that, because that gives the desire for clubs to continue to work that way, because now they know they're developing players. So the club should be rewarded for that, whether it's an MLS club that does that or the U.S. Soccer Federation, because that's an incentive for coaches to be able to work and do their job as far as developing players. And that would help overall our soccer in this country, especially with the youth clubs. And I think that should be a thought that the Federation has to think about going forward, because the academies in this country that are affiliated with U.S. Soccer, they're about 90 to 110, I think. But when you think about our country here, how many youth clubs, there's thousands of them. So we need to make sure that we include those clubs that are outside the academy and keep an eye on them, and then even, you know, give them incentives so they can do a good job in developing players. I mean, they get to the national team or they get signed by a professional club, and they should be compensated for that. And that would help overall the structure of developing players.
We will continue our conversation with Hugo Perez after this.
If you're enjoying this podcast, we invite you to subscribe. Visit our website at www.prospectss.com. That's prospectsss.com. And follow us on Twitter at RethinkingF. If you are enjoying this podcast, we invite you to subscribe. Visit our website at www.prospectsss.com. That's prospectsss.com. And follow us on Twitter at RethinkingF.
So you mentioned that there's maybe 90 to 100 academies in the U.S., and as you said, we are a really big country. So what do you think could be done better at the local level to identify talented players and then connect them to the right academy or the right coaches in order to give them a better shot at a path to professionalism?
Well, look, I think, again, with the academy, people talk about, well, we want to make sure that the academies are strong. We want to make sure that the academies, the games mean something. I get that. I understand that. that I still feel that the only way to reach outside clubs from the academy system is to get them involved. I always thought that, you know, in certain parts of the country where the volume of players is big, I think U.S. Soccer should try and regionalize those places and have more academies involved, okay? Because at the end, when you have more academies involved, you look at more players. And I tell you the truth, I was in Spain 5 years ago, and I spoke to the people in Barcelona, and the Barcelona Academy, you know, from the Masia, obviously they compete in a local league, and a lot of the clubs are not professional sometimes, especially at the youth level. But they compete against them, and that gives them the advantage to look at players that they might not see or their scouts might miss. Okay, that's one way to do it here. They have more clubs being involved. Now, if they cannot be more involved, for example, in the academy process, then what they should do is probably U.S. Soccer should reach more those clubs outside the academy and have a program for them. You know, have a scouts or have people that work in U.S. Soccer come once or twice a month to do, you know, training centers for them so they can invite their best players so you can see them also. That's why, you know, with the Latino community, when I worked, the years that I worked with U.S. Soccer, I did that. I went outside the academy program and started doing training centers in you know, in Latino places where I could reach all these Latino leagues and ask them to send me the best players, and then I would come two nights to look at their best players. And sometimes, you know, we shot players that probably would have never been seen because they were not in academy program. And that way, we can reach all these people. But U.S. Soccer has to really implement some kind of a system and hire the right people that can reach those people to be able to have more access to our youth players.
Hugo, we have some players from the U.S. who have gone through the academy system in Spain, and they're playing now in the Spain system, playing professionally at different levels.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think as the advantage for them for having been part of that system?
You mean being part of the academy system here and then going overseas?
That, or for, you know, there are a few players who've been able to be in the youth system, I think about three, who've been part of the academy system in Spain, who are U.S. players. And now, they've graduated to professional level. But what do you think the advantages are for them having taken that path over having stayed in the academy system here in the U.S.?
Well, the advantages, I don't think we can compare it. First of all, I still think that the best players, the best youth players, depending on what their dream is, if they're talented enough, it's always beneficial for them to go younger to Europe. It would always be, for so many reasons, the culture, the environment, you know, being in an academy where the first team is playing every Sunday, where the atmosphere is big, where the environment of training and competing every day, you know, asks you to be the best every day. We don't have that here. You know, our academies here is difficult to put that into what they do and how they do it in Europe. We're still a long ways to go there. So it's always going to be an advantage for our players to go there at the young ages. Now, also, I can tell you this by my personal experience. I think the academy system here is good, but I always emphasize that the best players have to be playing with older kids or have to be playing with adults, because that's the way you develop sometimes the most talented players a little bit faster, or again, going overseas at the young age and living that experience, because obviously when those kids get there, the hardest part is for them adjusting to a different life, a different culture in Europe than it is here. Some of them have been born there and then they come back because they cannot adjust to the type of life that is, you know, that you live in Europe, especially at the young age, where they don't have all the things that they have here in America. So that's a big issue for them. But the ones that have that strong mentality and are talented enough, I think they're always going to be ahead of the ones that stay here.
What advice would you give to coaches, both seasoned and new coaches, on how to develop youth players and help them reach their full potential?
The most important thing is about this, and I think we as coaches in America, we need to really think about what is the best thing we can do for our kids. How can we elevate our level? How can we help our kids become elite soccer players and put them in countries where you have the top teams in the world? I think that would be my message to every coach, you know, whether they're professional or whether they're youth. Because I personally, this is my personal feeling, we as coaches sometimes put first our own things before our players, especially at the youth. And I think that needs to change. And we need to be more humble. We need to be more open of learning from people that are better than us. I think that would be my message.
That's great advice, Hugo. This concludes this episode of Rethinking Football. Join us for the next episode when we will continue our conversation with Hugo Perez and discuss U.S. youth players who choose to play on teams outside the U.S. and what the advantages are for players who make that decision.
To access the transcript of this podcast and other archives, please visit our website, www.prospectsss.com, and click on Podcasts. That is prospectsss.com. If you enjoyed the show, subscribe to get the latest episode directly to your device. This episode is brought to you by PSS International Academy. Research shows that in sports, the one thing that works and makes lower-performing players better is immersion. To learn about our programs and how you can play federated football in Spain, visit prospectsss.com and click on International Academies. Rethinking Football's theme song, Actionable, is courtesy of bensound.com.